Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Billionaire Wilderness, The Ultra-Wealthy, and the Remaking of the American West is a sociological study by Justin Farrell that examines how extreme wealth reshapes community life. Land use and identity in Teton County, Wyoming, set in the richest and one of the most unequal counties in the United States. The book looks beyond headlines about billionaires to show how affluent residents interact with the environment, local institutions, and working-class people who support the local economy. Farrell combines extensive fieldwork with interviews across class lines to analyze how wealth is lived on the ground rather than only measured through national statistics. The book belongs to cultural sociology and environmental social science, and its purpose is both descriptive and critical. It explains how nature, philanthropy, and rural imagery help wealthy residents create a sense of authenticity, while also revealing the social costs for housing, labor, and community cohesion. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Teton County became a laboratory for studying extreme inequality. Farrell uses Teton County as a concentrated case study because it combines extraordinary affluence with stark inequality in one place. This makes the county more than a local curiosity. It becomes a way to observe how national wealth trends are experienced in everyday life. The book shows that the presence of billionaires, second homeowners, service workers, and long-term residence produces a layered social world in which people share the same landscape but live very different realities. That contrast allows Farrell to study not only income differences, but also how class hierarchies shape housing access, local politics, and the meaning of community. The county is especially useful because its economy and culture are heavily influenced by outside wealth. Yet the people who work there must still navigate the practical consequences of that wealth, including rising costs and changing social expectations. In that sense, the book treats place as a social microscope, revealing mechanisms of inequality that are often hidden when wealth is discussed only in abstract national terms. Secondly, the wealthy use nature to construct authenticity and moral legitimacy. A central argument of the book is that affluent residents use the natural environment as more than scenery or recreation. Nature becomes a social resource through which they manage stigma, status anxiety, and the problem of appearing undeserving. Farrell argues that wealthy people in Teton County often adopt Western dress, outdoor routines, and conservation language to present themselves as grounded, ordinary, and morally serious rather than detached elites. This is not just a matter of personal taste. It is a form of identity work that helps soften the contradiction between extreme privilege and a culture that values ruggedness, humility, and self-reliance. The book shows that the environment offers a language of authenticity that wealth alone cannot supply. At the same time, this strategy is socially consequential because it makes elite presence feel natural and even beneficial. By wrapping themselves in the imagery of wilderness and rural life, wealthy residents can appear as stewards of place while still benefiting from unequal access to land, amenities, and influence. Thirdly, gilded philanthropy can deepen inequality while appearing generous. Farrell devotes significant attention to philanthropy because it is one of the main ways wealthy residents justify their role in the county. The book argues that charitable giving in Teton County is often intertwined with conservation and land protection, which can produce unintended consequences for affordability and inclusion. Donations may preserve scenic landscapes and support environmental goals, but they can also contribute to higher housing costs by restricting developable land or reinforcing a premium on exclusive property. This creates a paradox axe framed as public-minded generosity may intensify the very inequalities they are meant to offset. Farrell calls attention to the moral language surrounding philanthropy, especially the idea that the wealthy are civic benefactors whose donations prove commitment to community. His analysis complicates that story by showing how selective forms of giving can protect elite lifestyles, preserve prestige, and leave working residents with fewer affordable options. The result is a sharper understanding of how virtue and power can reinforce each other in wealthy environmental communities. Fourthly, the book links elite lifestyles to the working poor who make them possible, rather than studying billionaires in isolation. Farrell examines the paired experiences of the rich and the poor who serve them. This method matters because the county's elite lifestyle depends on a large labor force that works in service, maintenance, construction, hospitality, and other low-wage sectors. The book therefore treats inequality as relational. The comfort, mobility, and leisure of the wealthy are sustained by people whose earnings, housing options, and social standing are far more precarious. Farrell's interviews show that these workers are not background figures, but essential participants in the county's social order. Their daily realities reveal the tension between a glamorous public image and the practical demands of maintaining luxury. The book also emphasizes that many workers face language barriers, long commutes, and limited opportunities to live near the place where they work. By bringing both groups into the same analysis, Farrell demonstrates how local prosperity can rest on hidden dependency. This approach gives the book its sociological force, because it reveals class relations as lived interdependence rather than separate worlds. Lastly, a measured critique of conservation, place, and the mythology of the American West, the book is not simply a critique of rich people. It is also a critique of the cultural stories that make their presence seem natural. Farrell examines how older ideals of the American West, including rugged individualism, pastoral beauty, and conservation as moral responsibility, are repurposed in a billionaire era. The result is a West that still appears open and wild on the surface, but is increasingly organized around private wealth, exclusive property, and status competition. This is why the book stands out in environmental and regional sociology. It connects land use, symbolism, and inequality without reducing the issue to a single cause. Farrell is careful to show that conservation can protect landscapes while also producing exclusionary effects, especially when tied closely to private property and elite control. The book therefore offers a balanced but critical perspective on a region often romanticized in public discourse. It asks readers to see how the mythology of nature can coexist with deep social stratification, and how the language of preservation can sometimes mask the social consequences of remaking the West for the wealthy. In conclusion, Billionaire Wilderness is best suited for readers interested in sociology, environmental politics, the American West, and the social consequences of wealth concentration. Scholars and general readers alike will find value in its careful fieldwork, its class-aware analysis, and its ability to connect abstract inequality to visible changes in place, housing, and community life. The book offers practical insight into how philanthropy, conservation, and local identity can interact in unexpected ways, making it useful for anyone trying to understand why affluent environmentalism can still produce exclusion. What distinguishes it from many books about billionaires is its grounded regional method. Farrell does not write a simple exposé of excess. He shows how wealth is normalized through culture, landscape, and moral storytelling. That makes the book more analytically interesting than a conventional account of luxury or scandal. It is also more socially revealing than a broad national inequality overview, because it demonstrates how class power operates in a specific community where the effects are visible in everyday life. Readers looking for a serious, evidence-based account of modern elite culture will find it especially rewarding. If you would like to support Justin Farrell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.